What's the biggest secret you've ever kept, and why? And if you happen to share that secret, did it somehow change you? Has someone ever kept a major secret from you? How did it affect your relationship? I'm Bill Anderson, in for Jabalani LaFall. On today's Central Standard, I'll be joined by Dr. Bruce Lees for a look at the secret lives of secrets. He says that our problems are only as big as the secrets we keep. We'll get into the private thoughts and motivations that dangerous people keep hidden, and we'll explore the origins of secret-keeping in childhood and adolescence, plus a look at the psychological implications of concealing something in the first place, and your questions. Join us for a look at what we keep hush-hush on Central Standard after the news. This is Central Standard. I'm Bill Anderson. Jabalani LaFall returns tomorrow. Allow me to read these music lyrics from a song by the Romantics. When I hold you in my arms at night, don't you know you're sleeping in the spotlight, and all your dreams that you keep inside, you're telling me the secrets that you just can't hide. Secrets, sometimes harmless, even protective, often self-destructive and harmful to others. The Psychology of Secrets with Central Standard regular guest, Dr. Bruce Lees. He's a professor of family medicine at KU. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Okay, let's start here. Define secrets and give us some context for this morning's topic.
Well, to put it really simply, a secret is knowing something and intentionally keeping it private, intentionally not sharing it. And it's usually because of a fear of controversy or consequences or being judged or something like that. And, you know, there's usually a lot of strong feelings associated with big secrets like shame and guilt and fear and confusion and anxiety and all that stuff. And there are all kinds of secrets. So,
and are we wired to keep secrets? I mean, how does this play out on a psychological level? Is it a learned behavior?
I believe that that a lot of life is trial and error. We do stuff and we figure out the impact of whatever we do, and that shapes then what we do following that. So, mm-hmm. I think people more or less. Learn early in life whether or not they should be ashamed of who they are and what they've done. And to the extent that telling the truth and being listened to well, to the extent that that occurs, we don't really carry secrets around. But if we have a lot of shame as children, if we're caught doing normal things and we're punished for them, then we tend to be more secretive. That's
right. There's a cost to telling a secret as a child.
Oh, yeah. There's depending on who your parents are, kids, exploratory sexual behavior as a child, is very, very common and normal and even expected. And Freud would argue, I'm not a Freudian psychologist, but Freud would argue that reactions we get from people regarding sex, which is supposed to be one of the biggest things that drives us, mm-hmm. according to Freud, mm-hmm. how we're responded to by the people around us determines how much shame we have, how much anxiety we have. But I'm talking now about more personal secrets having to do with who we are and how we act. There's been too much news of late about terrible, terrible
right.
misbehavior and violence.
Aurora, Colorado, and now Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Right. Secrets, terrible things like that couldn't happen if it weren't for the fact that the people who do those abhorrible things, those people have to keep it a secret until they spring into action. So there are like normal everyday secrets, things we wouldn't tell people because it's just so personal, and then
right.
there are the terrible secrets about things we do that some humans do that are very destructive and terrible.
And there's probably not a person walking on this planet that doesn't have a secret.
Anyone who couldn't edit their thinking and their speech to leave out certain things has as big a problem as somebody who has a lot of secrets.
Uh-huh.
So telling too much about oneself can appear as odd, as being very secretive. So, yeah, there's a full range.
And there's a complexity to it in that I may share a secret with you, but I'm not going to share it with, you know, one of my staff members, for example, you know?
Well, what you're raising is a specific class of secrets. Those secrets that we keep secret because somebody has shared something and asked us to keep it secret.
Yeah.
And so if you tell somebody something and you've asked them to keep it a secret,
right,
they then have to deal with the feelings,
yes, yeah,
that are associated with whatever your secret is. And so
how fair is that for me to share an intimate secret with you and then you're expected to maintain trust with me, right? And it might be something that you abhor, that you find it completely repulsive, yet we've got this relationship. And, I mean, how do you deal with that? All of a sudden, the way you view me is colored, and you have a lot of negative thoughts.
Well, I would make some recommendations when it comes to giving and receiving another person's secrets. And this is right off the top of my head, so it's not anything I've prepared. So.
Yeah.
I would say that if you have secrets and they are causing you discomfort and you believe that it would serve you well to share it with somebody, a secret, then you better know who you're sharing that secret with, and you better be able to anticipate well what the impact will be on them and also on your relationship and also on you if they don't keep the secret. So we've talked about emotional intelligence in this very studio, and to the extent that people share secrets wisely, I think that's a product of their emotional intelligence. On the other hand, if somebody's about to share a secret with you as the receiver or the listener of the secret, I think it'd be highly advisable to I think it's important to ask that person, the listener, do you want to hear, can you listen to a secret and keep it secret? Mm-hmm. Can you keep it confidential? And as the listener, I'd say, you know what? You better think twice before you tell me this, because I tell everything to my spouse or I tell everything to my girlfriend. Or it's just, you know, I wouldn't want to keep that secret from certain people. It's very, very complex.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like talking about this topic. It's very complex.
Kansas City, what's the biggest secret you've kept? Why? How did it finally change your life? Maybe it didn't. 816-235-2888, 235-2888. Email arrives at centralstandard@kcur.org. So we're already establishing here that not all secrets are created equal, Dr. Bruce Lease.
Yeah, you know, I have to go back to what you just said to your listening audience. You asked them for the biggest secret.
Yeah, I know.
How many people? Let's remind
people.
There's
some anonymity here.
Yeah, this is just between you and I.
Right.
How many people are listening? okay, so I think the question was about the many different types of
secrets. Yeah, they're not all created equal. And I guess I would argue that some secrets, you know, and I'm thinking of ones that I keep related to my children, that if they knew this, it would be very hurtful and it would be harmful to their self-esteem, for example.
I had not thought of that one, but that's right. As a father, I know a lot of things about my daughter that I would have no business sharing. And in that, under those circumstances, those would be some of my secrets, my secrets about her. And they're not even terrible things. It's just that I can hear her saying, "Dad."
Right, yeah.
And so it's enough to keep those things secret. You know, there are things that people are truly ashamed of, their circumstances. One of the things that I've, in patient care, I have never met anyone who advertised openly to the world that they have herpes. You know, it's a medical condition that's very common, and most people associate that with feeling ashamed or embarrassed or self-conscious, and it's not public information. So just being ashamed of your own real circumstances, it could be experiences of abuse in childhood. It could be anything like that. So when it's a real personal secret like that, it sure makes sense to keep it a secret. Unfortunately, a lot of people's secrets have to remain secrets because of social stigma. Somebody who's illiterate, unfortunately, still one's sexual orientation because of the stigma associated with it. Mental illnesses, because of the stigma, for many people need to be kept a secret. People have lost jobs for those secrets getting out. Don't ask, don't tell, the policy, don't ask, don't tell, obviously, is all about encouraging secrets over a stigmatized behavior. And as I said earlier, some secrets, your question was, are all secrets created equal? Well, some people have terrible intentions. They're terrorists, they're mass murderers. Mm-hmm. Their behaviors necessarily remain secretive. They're secrets until they jump. And then just avoiding punishing consequences, like a spouse having an affair probably would keep that a secret just for fear of the consequences. So there are lots and lots of topics that bring out secrecy.
But keeping a secret, a really big secret like that, there's a cost to that. There's a cost to one's health, right?
Oh, my.
I mean, the potential for consequences related to health because of all the guilt and the stress and the effort it takes to hide.
Yeah, there's good research on all of this stuff that we talk about here, and I try to read it before we do this, and there have been studies that just look at how preoccupied people get when they're trying to keep a secret that's salient to the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I like to tell people I have no secrets, I mean, if somebody found my tax return on the ground, I wouldn't care. And it's a lot easier to go through life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who really cares how much money I make or where I make it? Nobody should. There's nothing exciting. But that's not the truth. That's not the same for certain politicians, of course.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
who have been keeping their tax returns secret. But optimally, ideally, you would reduce the number of secrets in your life to as close to zero. To a manageable amount. That's right.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Bill Anderson in for Jabalani LaFall, and we're joined this morning by Dr. Bruce Lease, professor of family medicine at KU, and we're discussing the secrets we keep and what they say about who we are. Pat's in Overland Park and joining us on the air. Good morning.
This is a very interesting subject, I think. I want to tell the secret that occurred when my husband and I were about 30 years old, and we were both working, and I decided that I would take some of my paycheck and put it in a savings account and let the savings account build up without him knowing about this. And when it built up to a certain amount, then I decided to surprise him and tell him about it. And I did just that. But instead of him being pleasantly surprised, he was hurt. He was hurt because it was a secret that I kept, and we didn't have secrets from one another.
Interesting.
So it was quite a turnabout as far as I was concerned.
Yeah. What a surprise for you, Pat.
Yes, it was. It really was.
I'm going to trust that the two of you overcame that challenge.
Oh, very definitely.
Good.
Very definitely.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Pat.
You're welcome.
I have a feeling that there are a lot of secrets kept that are for good intentions that end up backfiring on people. And I hadn't thought of anything like that. But that makes very good sense. And I like the way Bill asked if you overcame it, and I'm glad the answer was yes.
Oh, yes, definitely. Thank you.
Oh, I will say one more thing about that. You know, and this is germane to our discussion, to the extent that people have a secret, share it with someone they love, whatever the results are, they work through it. That strengthens the relationship. So sharing secrets appropriately with the people we care deeply about, whatever their reaction might be, can be a very healthy and positive process.
Right, right.
Have a pleasant day, Pat.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. 235-2888 if you'd like to participate in the show. 235-2888. This from Facebook. Mark writes in with a SpongeBob SquarePants quote. Well, it's not a secret that the best thing about a secret is secretly telling someone your secret, thereby secretly adding another secret to their secret collection of secrets. Secretly, of course.
I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. Hey, let's go back. You alluded to sharing, you know, politicians and an unwillingness, and I think you're referencing Mitt Romney as a candidate not being willing to share his taxes. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, without any political commentary at all, there should be no question in anyone's mind that the Romneys, both of them, husband and wife, have publicly stated our taxes are not for public view. And when somebody says to the world, I have a big secret, mm-hmm. they better expect others to be very attentive to them in ways that they might not want anyone to be attentive. So that's a secret that they've publicly stated they're going to have. And then on to add insult to injury or to add secrets to secrets, Harry Reid then got secret information, and this is all hearsay, mm-hmm. secret information that Mitt Romney hasn't paid taxes in 10 years from mm-hmm. one of his associates at Bain Capital. Again, unconfirmed hearsay, but Harry Reid has to keep that a secret. Who gave him that information has to be a secret. So what a mess.
Yeah. Well, you know, for as long as I've lived, from the Nixon tapes to the Iran-Contra affair to presidential extramarital relationships, secrets have cast doubt on a lot of, if you look just at the U.S. of A lot of doubt on our leadership at the federal level.
Yeah, I have a favorite expression, and it's our problems are only as big as our secrets.
Uh-huh.
Anything that we can't tell the world, we just can't because the consequences would be too terrible. Anything we can't tell the world is probably something we shouldn't do. The extent to which we have to protect what we know or protect what we're doing or hide it, I think is somewhat a measure of how much trouble we might be in. So,
do you think that feeds into, you know, again, looking at the government, do you think that feeds into the conspiracy theories that exist and that raise doubt about what really is going on at the higher levels?
I heard a quote this morning.
Because let me just finish that by saying I hear some outlandish theories being expressed as fact with people who I think are really incredibly smart, intelligent people. And I'm like taken aback. I'm like, how can you possibly think that's true? I apologize for interrupting.
No, you didn't interrupt. You're fine. I don't remember the exact piece this morning, but something on public radio, of course, talked about that very topic, the topic of how extreme ideas are these days in politics. And they talked about the 24-hour news cycle. They talked about talk radio, AM talk radio, and how likely it is that you'll have people on air coming up with conspiracy theories. I don't think that's related to secrets. I think that's related to some other very unfortunate circumstances of politics.
Mm-hmm. What's the relationship between secrets and lies?
I would say that a lie can be explicit or implicit, overt or covert. We can, when asked a question, give completely false information, or we can dodge the question in such a way that we don't tell the truth. Those are lies.
Mm-hmm.
So covert and overt answers to questions we're asked are lies. Secrets are okay. Here we go. Secrets are just withholding the information. I were, and I am quite certain that I'm not, if I were having an affair and I didn't tell anyone it was secret, it would be a secret. So I'm having an affair and it's a secret. As soon as somebody says to me, are you having an affair? If I say no, or if I say, wow, the sky's really blue today,
mm-hmm.
the first is an explicit lie and the
mm-hmm.
second's an implicit lie.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to reiterate, I am not having an affair.
235-2888, 816-235-2888. Kansas City, we'd like to hear you talk to us. We're talking about secrets this morning on Central Standard. Jabalani LaFall is away. He returns tomorrow. I'm your host this morning anyway, Bill Anderson. Organizational secrets, sometimes necessary, sometimes really unfortunate. Sometimes if we look at it from a personnel standpoint, secrets have to be kept at a supervisory management level.
Oh, yeah. I believe that private information we have about other people is best kept a secret. My profession dictates, federal law and my profession both dictate that what people tell me about their well-being is a secret that we keep together unless there's some threat of harm to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So at that level, secrets are very healthy and very positive. You know, I have spent my career in both the private sector and also working for right now for the state of Kansas at KU. And I have been really I've been well oriented to the extent of public view that the state and federal government agencies, et cetera, are allowed to have. Anybody can find out my salary by looking it up on the web because I work for Kansas.
Right.
I've really liked that. I also have a private company, a sailboat shop that most everyone knows about. And it's privately held, but I have no secrets there either. It's like I like to operate there the way if a customer came in and said, you're ripping me off, I'd be happy to let them see all of our financial information.
And the profit margin on
the profit, they can see all the profit margins they want.
Uh-huh.
If there were great ones, I'd say they couldn't, but they're not. Maybe if I would see, that goes back to our problems are only as big as our secrets. If you conduct business in such a way that it's fair for everyone, then I think the public would applaud knowing your secrets in business. It's only
transparency. You
know, transparency. Good word. Thank you.
But then, let's say company A has this incredible product and it's guaranteed to extend our lives by, 15 years. But there are some incredible side effects. I'm working in development for that company, and I find out about some of these side effects, but I remain silent.
I think that should be a criminal offense, actually.
Okay. Goes beyond secret.
I thought you were going to ask a different question. For a while there was a shop sprung up that was in direct competition to ours in town.
Yeah.
And, we had to decide how we were going to operate in relationship to that private. We're a private firm, they're a private firm, and we're in very, very direct competition.
Uh-huh.
And I just...
In a niche market, obviously, if it's a sailing outfit.
Yeah, I forged ahead, and I just started calling the guy and saying things like, how's business? What are you guys doing? I can tell you whatever you... And I was 100% open, and we're still in business, and they're not. And, I really think that transparency, good service, telling the truth... not taking advantage, those are all so powerful that I, to the extent that a market can bear a business that's in it, I really think that companies that are transparent are going to do better than companies that are not.
I'm curious, did you feel that your competitor was also being transparent with you?
I think he was.
Yeah, okay.
I think he was. I think he had no choice because, I'd say... my margin on these boats is only 20%.
Mm-hmm.
What's yours? What's he going to say? If he says I can't say that, I could just say, well, we're in the same business. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you tell me? I know the truth. So he was pretty open himself, I think.
Let's go back to the phones and from Midtown. Grover's calling. Hi, Grover.
Hi. I guess my question is, how do you deal with half truths and things that out of context, like campaign statements? It just infuriates me that nobody really holds anyone's feet to the fire on half-truths or misstatements.
That's a good point.
Grover, I love that question.
A proliferation of that on television in particular.
Yeah, there's one journalist, and I don't know his name, who has proposed a debate between the presidential candidates where they have to answer the question and they have to be data-based and they can't. He's proposing that, and it's being completely rejected by all involved. It, to be honest, Grover, it drives me crazy. There's so much dishonesty in campaigning.
Well, and there are so a lot troubling. Of accusations made about the other
exactly.
candidate that
That's...
can't be proven.
And, right. If I do that in my business, my customer base would disappear or I would be terminated from my job.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All of them, it doesn't matter what, what group they are, just bend the truth to their whim. It's so frustrating when you can't find out how they feel about something because they're misrepresenting themselves and their opposition. It's just so frustrating. Yeah. Have a great day, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Grover.
Thank you. That's very, very, very interesting facet of this issue of secrecy.
Kim's calling from Lawrence. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kim.
I have a question for your guest. What about the case where someone practices a non-mainstream religion, maybe a pagan religion, and there's from misinformation, whatnot, maybe a social stigma? So it's not necessarily a secret, but it's not something that you might feel comfortable being, as open with. We are in the heart of the Bible Belt. So what are your feelings on that?
Oh, boy, I have about 1,000 of them. First of all, there are two kinds of stigmatized behaviors. One is concealable and the other one is not concealable, or not behaviors but even characteristics. So what you're talking about are stigmatized religions, and some things like skin color are also stigmatized in pockets – unfortunately, big pockets of the United States, and you can't conceal those. That brings me to the tragedy that occurred over the weekend with the Sikh church. These are people who are peace-loving, good people who practice a very well-known religion outside of our own country. It's well-known, especially in the East. And these people don't conceal their religion. They can't, or else they'll be violating their religion. They wear turbans. And the stigma associated with wearing a turban is so terrible that somebody made the decision they're going to kill people. So I appreciate your comments greatly. What you're talking about are stigmatized choices, and in some cases not choices, that people make. And how badly punished they are and how they have to walk around asking themselves, what am I going to do with my terrible secret? Somebody who contracts HIV maybe because they had an unfaithful spouse that's working in a business who feels like they really should tell their employer but can't tell their employer for fear that they're going to lose their job for being HIV positive. There are so many examples of stigmas that are punished, that people have to decide about whether to hide if they're concealable stigmas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as I said before, sometimes, if it's a religious choice and it's peaceful, everyone is equal in your eyes. However, the mainstream religion is not as forgiving.
I agree with you completely. I agree with you completely. I think a lot of people who are not in the mainstream of religion or a lot of things culturally or personally, I think a lot of people do live in fear that they will be punished for who they are.
And in turn, they become a little more secretive and it casts even more suspicion on their religion.
Right. And I learned about paganism from work I was doing in San Francisco, which is a far less Bible Belt kind of town, as you well know, I'm sure. And, when people take on anything with the right spirit, spirit of caring, spirit of love, all that stuff, it doesn't matter what their religion's called. And a lot of people don't understand that. And we push people into having secrets when they shouldn't have to.
Kim,
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Have a nice day. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR and KCUR.org. I'm Bill Anderson. Jabalani LaFalls back tomorrow. I'm joined today by Dr. Bruce Lease, professor of family medicine at KU. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, more insight into the secret lives of those who keep secrets. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR, and welcome back. I'm Bill Anderson in for Jabalani LaFall. We're joined by Dr. Bruce Lease, professor of family medicine at KU. Today we're discussing the psychological implications of concealing a secret. If you'd like to join the conversation, 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. Email arrives at centralstandard@kcur.org. Speaking of, here's one from, this one is from Tom in Overland Park, and he wants to know about trade secrets, Bruce. He says, like a secret recipe with a question mark, and I would argue that that's probably a good secret.
Yeah, I would say that keeping a trade secret is as wise as locking your doors when you go to bed at night, mm-hmm. or locking your car when you walk away from it. Unfortunately, there are unscrupulous people in the world, and I wouldn't call it a secret. I'd call it protection. Mm-hmm. I'd say that we are, when it comes to something that could be taken away from us and there are unscrupulous people in the world, you protect what's yours.
Anonymous writes, on several occasions, my mother has told me things she's heard from other family members that I know were told to her in confidence. I don't want to hear these things and have never shared them, and I wonder whether she's trying to stir up trouble or is simply clueless. I try my best to steer the conversation in other directions.
I think they call that gossip. I think that what Anonymous is troubled by is a gossipy mother.
Okay, what's the payoff for a gossip?
Oh, you know, secrets to the extent – private information. Okay, I'll back it up because I hadn't thought about this question either. And sharing private information is a really legitimate way of enriching relationships. Sharing private information is a way of enriching a relationship. A sneaky, underhanded way of trying to accomplish the same thing without ever sharing private information is to share information about other people, other people's secrets. It's just not a legitimate way of connecting with people. So having a secret about yourself and telling someone because you care about them and you want to be closer, very legitimate. Having information about other people and using that as currency to connect with other people, that's not cool.
Is it important to live – this comes from one of our email accounts. Is it important to live true to your identity to reduce the stigma?
What the writer is asking is should we compromise what we believe in because we're afraid that people will judge us? Should we keep things secret about who we've chosen to be when a more courageous person might say, you know, I am, you know, I'm gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, you know, I am, you know, I have HIV. It's courageous to admit things like that. And I think, again, what the writer is trying to say is that honors one's own identity. And I think that's the compromise that one makes when they don't do that is costly, and people underestimate that.
I did a Google search, and I just typed in secrets and came up to some, I don't know, for lack of a better word, fascinating websites where people actually are allowed to make a confession, share their secret, and then get a response or feedback or suggestions from other people anonymously. I mean, for example, one, I pretend to like my stepdad so he won't argue with my mom. I have a child with special needs. My husband is going through something, and it always keeps me at a distance. My mother lives with us to help with said child and drives me crazy. and this one is marked as stressed. I mean, I guess this is probably a healthy outlet for people who are dealing with secrets. No?
Well,
I mean, it's all anonymous.
Again, preparing for this show, what I always do is I go to popular sources like web search engines, and I look all over for what society thinks about whatever topic we're doing, and I also look at the research and I look at my own practice, my own life experiences. I did a pretty extensive search, found those things coincidentally with you, but there was a predominance of sexual secret websites, one of them had the word I also searched for confessions. You know, Google gives you other choices down below. I just jumped all over the place looking for secrets and confessions. And, you know, you asked whether that's healthy. I am quite certain that some of the websites I found gave very, very, very detailed, very disturbing confessions that weren't true, just for the sake of writing the story. I did this to my sister and that and my aunt and this and that and my little brother and my big brother. And, that to me, and there were very angry responses, to me that does the opposite of what you were just talking about. I think the one you found is the one that requires you send in a postcard, which I thought was really cute.
Yeah.
But these other ones, really disturbing. And that, you know, the topics associated with secrets are topics like sexuality, criminality, ethics violations, failure at work, school, and whether or not, you know, someone's education, relationships, aggressive impulses, vulnerable feelings, stigmatized behavior. So there are all these topics that people tend to keep more secretive, and some of them draw out some very disturbed people.
Is there a cowardice associated with that? Because they're making confessions.
Yeah, the anonymity, yeah.
But they're not directly talking to perhaps the person that needs to hear that secret.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
But it's off their chest for whatever reason.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, the most legitimate currency for being connected with other human beings is true, honest, sincere self-disclosure about who one is.
Uh-huh.
And the further you get from that, the more you're talking about other people or lying about yourself or hiding and doing it electronically on anonymous websites. That's not legitimate currency for relationships.
Let's talk a moment about celebrity and benefiting monetarily with this specific positive public image when actually the opposite is true. Living a lie. And I'm thinking of, you know, for example, an athlete looking fun-loving and really cute and funny in a commercial, but then we find out later that really he's surly, unlikable, kind of repulsive. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I think the healthiest way of living is in such a way that you never have to have a facade. I mean, to the extent that you don't walk up to everybody and say, you know, my name's Bruce Lee, so I was born in a hospital in Queens, and my APGARs were, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Inappropriate self-disclosure excluded. I think that to the extent that we can be real and authentic and open and honest and minimally secretive, to that extent, we're healthy. There are celebrities that appear to me to be very authentic, and I'm always impressed with the most authentic celebrities. They're willing to say what they think, and you can tell it's not to build their own egos.
235-2888 is the phone number for Central Standard. What happened when you were told a secret? Did it change your relationship with the person? Give us a phone call or shoot us an email, centralstandard@kcur. Ed's joining us from Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Ed.
Yeah, good morning, and I'll try to be really brief with this. A number of years ago, I toured Cheyenne Mountain with a professional group. We were studying the use of space underground for humans. And one of the things that our hosts told us, this is a classified military facility, of course, one of the things they told us when we entered the facility was that certain areas were considered critical secrets of the United States government. Hmm. And then they wouldn't tell us where those areas were. And that just completely removed that aura of secrecy, if you will, and it enabled us to simply concentrate on, we're here to observe best practices. And all they told us was we would ask that when you leave the facility after you visited, just please don't discuss anything that you may have seen here outside this facility. And the, I guess the removal of that, that veil of secrecy made it much less distracting. It, like I say, it actually enabled us to just do what we set, had set out to do in the first place.
Ed, that's a great story. And the reason why it's a great story is what I was referring to before. Secrecy burdens us. By keeping secrets, we are burdened. We do have to worry about, you know, what we have told people, what we haven't told people. What you're saying is they told you and you knew it and you weren't curious about are there secrets here. I think that's very analogous to interpersonal relationships where you just tell all and then you don't have to worry about what will be found out about you later.
Right, right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Annan writes, you know, this conversation brings up a secret I've held for a long time. That's, I guess, a pretty open knowledge thing, but not spoken of, and that's the amount of partying that goes on in creative businesses, as well as the amount of casual drug use, specific or particularly marijuana in society.
There's a really fine line between what's kept secret because it is private and what's kept secret because it's misbehavior. And a certain amount of celebrating, and I'm not talking about any particular substance, not marijuana, not alcohol, not heroin. I'm not talking about a particular substance, but, you know, rewarding employees and celebrating successes is really healthy. But when it's done in such a way that the celebrants or the business owners feel the need to keep it a secret, I mean, that's really that means their problems probably are getting as big as their secrets are.
Ricky's calling us from Kansas City North. Ricky?
Yes. I was wondering, you had mentioned inappropriate disclosure of personal information.
Yes.
Where do you draw the line between being really honest and disclosing too much information?
Good question.
You draw the line with good, a high level of emotional intelligence. Just reviewing that concept for a moment here. Emotional intelligence is a keen awareness of what's meant by, you know, by people's facial expressions, what's meant by their tone of voice, what they mean as they describe who they are. If you are emotionally intelligent, you will gauge well. There's no meter for it. There's no meter with a little red line and a dial in it. An emotionally intelligent person will judge well whether or not the person they're communicating with can tolerate what they're about to hear, whether they can keep it confidential, whether they have the emotional intelligence to respond well. So hopefully that answers your question.
Maybe one more question then, and that is an emotional intelligence something to be developed, or is emotional intelligence something you're born with?
Yes, it's number one, the first one, because I've seen people who didn't have access to emotional intelligence when they were young, who don't have it, who gain it through life experience and listening well to others. And playing well with others is a good way to get emotional intelligence.
Do you have all those qualities, Ricky?
I don't think so. People would say I am someone who constantly shares too much information.
Oh, I'm so glad you called because let me be another in the voices who have recommended that you be very careful about what you share with people. If I tell you something about me and you don't ask a follow-up question and it's personal, that's it. I'm not going to tell you anymore. If I say to you, you know, I grew up poor, and you say, oh, yeah, hey, are you going to be having lunch today at noon? It's like, okay, I'm not going to tell you anything else.
Okay. That's good information. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Book by John Gottman, How to Raise Emotionally Intelligent Children. It's about children, but it's a great Great book on emotional intelligence. John Gottman, G-O-T-T-M-A-N.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I get excited in the moment sometimes, and I work really hard at being in the moment. Yeah, but as a result, I may make impulsive comments in that moment, okay? And then later, upon reflection, I'm like, oh, my God, why did I share that much about myself?
Well, you're an extrovert, and the difference between – this is very relevant. Mm-hmm. There's a new book out called Quiet by a brilliant author, a woman who is introverted. And uh-huh. the difference between introverts and extroverts is that introverts think before they talk. And extroverts, the way they think is by talking. And you're an extrovert. And it's going to be very hard for you to keep secrets because you think by talking. Introverts may not tell you a lot about themselves, but it's not that they're secretive. It's that they don't have that impulse to talk. And mm-hmm. neither one is better than the other. And so, yes, Bill Anderson, I would say you probably do give away secrets.
Thanks a lot, Dr.
I'm
Bruce Lee.
I'm just speculating.
Just speculating. Tim's in North Kansas City. Tim, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hey, question of secrecy, and it's nobody's business. And I'm speaking specifically about your comments with regards to Governor Romney and versus President Obama, who says it's nobody's business about his school records, Harvard and Columbia. He's not revealing any of that. He's keeping it a deep, dark secret. And he's pretty well thumbing his nose and saying, well, it's nobody's business. Well, what's the difference between telling somebody it's nobody's business and keeping it a secret?
Nothing. I want my president to tell me everything there is to know about their finances, their education, their work experience, their politics. I want to hear it all. This is going to be my president. And whether it's one politician saying, I'm not going to tell you I'm not going to tell you even medical condition. So to answer your question, appreciate the question. No secret about one's public life, which includes one's education. You get educated
right.
in public. No
yes.
secret is a good secret as far as I'm concerned. When I go into that ballot box, when I go to place my vote, I want to know as much as I can.
So I heard on the radio the other day that he was the worst student ever in Harvard, and there's no way we can prove that he was a bad student because he won't release his records.
You know, I
see.
It is a political. It is a political season, however.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I trust most of the things I hear from people I know, and if I hear on the radio or over the internet anything about anyone, I am very, very, very careful to ask myself the question, who is it I'm hearing this from? And if they're extremists, I don't trust them. So
verification.
Yeah. So somebody shared a secret about, you know, Obama in this case, and I would want to know who that is, and I want to know who the Bain guy who says Romney I will not believe that Romney didn't pay taxes for 10 years just because some anonymous guy from Bain Capital claims it. I don't know the source. I'm not going to believe that, and I'm not going to believe the president was the worst student at Harvard. I can't judge those secrets from the little information.
Staying with politics for a moment, Patrick in Kansas City, Missouri is on the phone.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
How come government can have secrets and we accept that, and a person has a secret and we think it's a bad ethical thing?
Well, various governments vary. Different governments vary in the extent to which they are secretive. And some are pathologically secretive. Some keep their populace away from media, and the only media they're allowed to hear is what they claim. And that's pretty pathological, if you ask me. And some countries tell all except state secrets having to do with you know, warfare and spies and all that stuff. I would say what I said earlier, as long as we believe it's smart to lock our cars at night and lock our cars when we walk away from them and lock our doors, I think it's okay to protect what's ours. If there's some threat that unscrupulous people will take the information we have and hurt us. So same is true for telling personal secrets. If I won't tell you if I think you're going to hurt me with it. Same with state secrets.
Thanks for the phone call, Patrick.
Thank you.
To Prairie Village, and Mark's on the phone. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. My wife, who is in her early 40s, her parents went through a divorce when she was very young, just 2 or 3 years old. And as she became a teenager and started to be more aware of family dynamics, a grandmother chose to share a whole bunch of information about the ugliness of the divorce with my wife. And the grandmother's intention was that she would alienate my wife from one of her parents. But it actually had the complete opposite effect, and it alienated my wife from the grandmother who shared the secret because she was, you know, the reason that she was doing it, I mean, it had been years, and the divorce had happened, and it had all been done. And so just out of anger, the grandmother, a good decade or two later, is sharing this information with my wife, and all it did was alienate my wife from her grandma. And when she still tells that story now, even 20 years later, she still is angry and frustrated with her grandmother, saying, what was the reason for doing that? What was the benefit just because you wanted to strike out against someone? And it affects, she takes that in mind every time she thinks about sharing confidential news with family members and in dealing with our own typical dysfunctional family relationships.
Mark, I'm going to have to jump in here. Otherwise, okay. We won't have an opportunity to respond.
Right, that's fine.
You made
that's
a great point. Your wife, unfortunately, learned a tough lesson from the mistake her grandmother made. It's best to not tell people personal things like that unless you're asked.
Jabalani LaFall returns tomorrow. He'll be speaking with the author of a book, and yes, this is the real title, How to Be Black. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. Up to Date is next. I'm Bill Anderson, and this is Central Standard. Have a pleasant day.